The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among the nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
With anticipation and hope, we offer up these our thoughts and our prayers before God, the Almighty Father, and ask that God would be present in the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts. Amen. Please do be seated. Growing up, one of the things I think we often frustrate each other, and especially parents, with is a very fluid sense of time. I remember many times where, when it suited me, I wanted my siblings and often my parents to respond immediately. "I want this toy now. I'm hungry and want to eat now. I can't wait until later. I want it now." But when my mom would impose such things on me as "clean your room now," "come and help get ready for supper now," "get yourself ready for school now," I like to imagine that time was a very fluid concept in which I could exist, and somehow miraculously, as long as I was ready when it came, it would all be done. You don't get far in life imagining that time is actually that fluid. It becomes something that very quickly gets away from you, especially if you try to exist in employment or education. Showing up at the end of the lecture and expecting the teacher to stay on and teach you at that moment won't get you very far. Or showing up at the end of what was supposed to be your shift and pretending that it was the beginning isn't going to put you in good stead with the manager. It is also that space where we often find ourselves committing to one another to meet up. And in years gone by, it was very difficult in ways to miss a meeting with somebody because there wasn't the aspects of connection and communication that we currently have. But now we have a bit more connection and a bit more opportunity. And some of that fluidity of what we feel as fluidity of time is quite beneficial now. I think about the things that I can do here in the morning and then still connect with my family back in Canada kind of 7-8 hours later when they first wake up. Over the lockdowns and throughout the last 18 months or so, we've found that being able to celebrate and put things online means that other people can access them when their time is there. It's an opportunity to connect, but it still misses out on us necessarily being together. Very much so in the Gospels and in the very fabric of Christian faith
is actually this paradox of which time is both absolute and also is quite fluid. Time is that thing which Jesus speaks very clearly of in his parable today, about watching the signs for summer as we look at the plants around us. And yet he makes reference to something called, or something of, the generation, which will not pass away, that heaven and earth will pass away, but we must still be ready and alert at all times. Each year at Advent, we revisit the same themes we did the Advent before, but we do them in new light of our own lives, in new light of the world around us, and in new light, hopefully, of some of God's revelation to each and every one of us throughout the year gone by. And there is this amazing fluidity of time with God, a sense where God's timing is something that exists beyond how we track it in a linear fashion. To be reminded that in the midst of those things which happen to us, or the things that we do, that there is still place for redemption. There is still place and space for healing. There is still place for each and every one of us to receive salvation. And we often fixate these moments in specific places of time. And it's not that that's bad in and of itself. And we as creatures of time often do need to hold those spaces and those specifics, because that's what helps to anchor us as life moves on. But we do ourselves a disservice, and we do others and God a disservice, when we stop recognizing that in the midst of those anchor points, those specifics of time, there is things that continue to happen. There's things that actually start in those moments where we might be able to say, this happened here. But it's not till years later or time afterwards that we understand a little more of what that meant, or a little bit more about how that shapes us, or what we have become through the process. As part of Zaria's homework this couple weeks ago, she was asked to look at different celebrations. And the week after, they asked specifically that the class would look at celebrations around weddings. And so they invited the children to ask people around them who had been married to celebrate and share those moments with them. So I found myself one Tuesday afternoon sitting with Zaria and rewatching something I haven't watched for years and years, which is a video of part of Megan and my marriage or wedding ceremony. And it was strange to look back on that, not least because Megan had a very strong Canadian accent, which most of you wouldn't be able to detect now, and which Zaria very confusedly looked at me and said, I don't recognize her voice. But there was something about actually seeing and recognizing and hearing in that experience, saying our vows, being with our family and friends, where in that moment I was convinced of something absolute and true. I loved Megan and I wanted to spend my life with her. I was convinced that there was something about our shared life together that could make a difference, not just for each other, but also for the world around us. But I look back now and I see in many ways just how naive that was. Not that it was a naive thing to actually commit to, but actually it was naive because at that time I saw it as being so singular and in many ways so shallow. I was committed to her. We were going to get married and life was going to carry on. I'd no longer be sleeping alone, although she probably wishes sometimes when I'm snoring that I did. Times where we began to share things and experiences, but over the years that shared experience and that life together has become so much more than I would have been able to put into words that day. The things that we have shared as we have moved internationally, as we have each followed different steps of our own vocation and sought how to do that together, how we have walked with each other and seen each other grow in different ways as we've become parents. And as parents become friends with other people who are parents, and the list goes on and on. And there are things right now that I could have never put into words back then. And yet somehow in those naive, simple words and in that moment of commitment, it held all of those things just the same. It became that springboard, that starting point for something more. And it became something that has actually transformed and continues to transform and change my life every day. There is a simplicity and a naivety oftentimes in the way that we start things or that we mark things in time. But the beauty of human life and the depth and the mysteries of God means that we never fully tap into what that means. That word love that we share with our friends, with our families, with our favorite cup of coffee or best favorite pizza. That word can have so much meaning and so much impact, and yet never seem to scratch the surface of what we actually feel and hold deep inside of us. As we mark these specific moments, there's a depth to them of which we need to keep revisiting. We hold anniversaries, we hold birthdays, we hold regular celebrations, not because we did them the best last year and we're trying to outdo ourselves, but because those moments being revisited give them new depth, new value, new purpose, and continue to be places where they don't only mark where a change has happened, but can also mark where transformation continues to happen as God continues to work in us and through us and among us. Advent for me, very much more this year than any other, is all about revisiting those same places and mining and asking, what is the new depth here? I love Advent and I love Christmas, and it's easy to just enjoy the celebrations for what they are. The times with families and friends, the different foods and drinks, the different songs and music, the signs of light in the darkness as people start to put up lights around the city. But what more is there for each and every one of us? Because unlike the way that we often feel it in the world, where there's a climax of Christmas morning, into the gifts and into the presents, into that time together, which then feels like we struggle to hold on to that same sense as we stumble towards New Year and the days that follow after. But for us in faith, the climax is in stillness. The climax is in welcome and in recognition that God is here among us. Not a new revelation and not a new promise from God, but something different for us this year than it was before. If our journey of faith never deepens, if it never continues to challenge us and transform us in new ways, then I would argue we're probably not tapping into it in the way that God intends. For the depth, breadth, and mystery of God is beyond what we can tap into. It's beyond what we can discover. And it is only in those times and in those space and in that attention to the light and of Christ here among us that true transformation and change can continue to happen. It becomes that light that anchors us throughout the rest of the year. It becomes that truth which allows us to see that God's kingdom has both come but is also not fully realized. It is that light that allows us to say, this happened and this was meaningful and important, and yet I still know that there is more. Our journey of faith is not over. It is just beginning once again. And we will journey, and we will journey together, not just for our own lives, but as Jesus tells us that his life is for the very life of the world. Our simple reading from Jeremiah tells us that what we look for as this branch springs up from the root of Jesse, of David, it is a place of justice and of righteousness. Perhaps this year, more than ever, we need that sense of justice. We need that sense of righteousness, and not to be greater or holier than any other, but to see that, as we know, the lowly are raised from the ashes. Those who are sick and who are in need, who do not have enough, are finally provided for. Where the sense of God with them is not just a feel in their heart, is not just a hope that they one day aspire to, but is the fact that their neighbor is there to care for them, to let them know that they're not alone. This year, as we journey through Advent, I pray that each and every one of us will have that fresh revelation. that sense of the thing that has come before that anchors us into this moment, but also the challenge and the walk that reminds us that there is still more to be had, more to be heard, more to be discovered, and more to be transformed. For God continues to share the very light of Christ in the world. The Spirit continues to work among us to transform those little things we can offer for the glory of his name and for the good of the whole world. And once again, we will journey, not towards a frenzy of presents and gifts, but towards the manger where God is among us, where the light of Christ comes into the world, not as we want, not as we expect, maybe not even as we hope, but as we need. And in that need and in that journey, we offer ourselves once again to God, knowing and trusting the one who journeys with us, as we truly seek God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.